If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the CollectingCars.com podcast with Chris Harris.
Hello and welcome to another Collecting Cars podcast. This one being a bit visual, as you can see. We have some very, very special guests today. Formula One World Champion Damon Hill. And sports car ace and sports car champion, Derek Bell. Now, this is not a normal format podcast. We're here to talk about a charity these guys support that does some great work. And like all charities, has had a rough time of it in 2020 because they can't get out there and do the events that bring the money in. So in Collecting Cars, we're going to help by doing an online auction for Veloci. Okay, so Veloci was created by a guy called Chris Bucknell in 2017. They created a track day situation at Goodwood, right? And they got a load of fantastic cars, and I'm not talking about normal cars, 250 GTOs, Alpha 8Cs, amazing stuff like that, and got drivers like Damon and like Derek to come down and take people for rides, and it made a load of money. So this time round, they've decided the best thing to do is to get some very generous people to give away lots on an auction, which you can now go and bid on over there. Have a look at the links. And we thought we'd discuss some of those. And then also you can't have a brief chat with these two legends, but have a chinwag with them about what's going on. So guys, how long have you been involved with this thing? Did you do the first event when it was out there?
Are you talking to Derek or me?
Both of you.
I didn't do the first one, so it must be Derek.
Go on, Derek.
Yeah, I did. I've done them all, yeah. I think I might have had to miss one because for some reason, Chris puts it on a track when it clashes with an event I've been doing in America during in that month. But I didn't do last year, but I did the ones two before that. So I did do the one Damon didn't do.
I've actually was watching footage of you at Goodwood last week on a motorcycle. So yeah. you do like the place, don't you?
Well, that was Barry Sheen's fault. I blame him. Any trouble I got into it is Barry's fault. He persuaded me to do that. Was going back to when I was actually still racing. That was I think it was 99, I got special dispensation. I asked Eddie. I think Eddie wanted me to crash. Eddie Jordan wanted me to crash so that he could basically kick me out of the team and claim the insurance or something. But so it was a bit mad, but I did it and great fun. I felt safer on a bike, honestly, because I've done Goodwood in some of the older cars, the kind of, you know, priceless Ferraris and stuff. But you look at the frames, I mean, Derek can tell you, look at the things that they're made out of, and the tubes are that thin.
You're not meant to be that intelligent, Damon. You're not meant to.
I'm sorry. I'm used to carbon fiber now. I can't look at those things anymore.
But Goodwood is an amazing circuit because as someone who's into road cars, Goodwood's one of the few circuits where a road car can really breathe, and you can demonstrate the performance pretty well. It doesn't kill the brakes too quickly, so you can go and have a really good time, whereas most other circuits tend to just make road cars feel unspectacular and hammer their brakes. Goodwood, I think, is a great place for road cars.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's got a flow to it. It's very high speed, isn't it, Derek? I mean, you know, you can get it wrong there in a big way, but there's not a lot of big breaks, not a lot of big stops.
No, that's absolutely right. They're all sort of just down to third gear from fifth, not right down to second, as it were, for the corner. And the corners do flow, but I find Gilbert's a track you really must respect, because if you go in there thinking, oh, here comes turn one, which of course is called Madgwick, and you go flying up to it, it's a double apex. And then you get to the kink, you know, then you get down to the next lot. You all go from one corner into another, nearly the whole way round. So you've got to have the entrance to the first corner, right, to get it through the second. It's a tricky circuit. I think you have to take your time.
Right, I'm just going to quickly read out some of the things that are on offer in this auction, because it's easy to become a bit blasé about these things, but what's on offer here is spectacular. Okay, here's a taster. So, the first listed item is paddock passes for two people for the 2021 Silverstone Grand Prix to include lunch with Ross Brawn and other F1 luminaries. That's donated by Ross himself. So that's unobtainium. I'm going to use that word a few times when I describe these things. How about this? A six-bedroom villa in the south of France for seven nights to coincide with the 2021 Monaco Historic Grand Prix in April, to include grandstand seats for four in Casino Square. That's donated by Jeremy Holland of HFMC Wealth. Now, that again does strike me as being quite something. An apartment overlooking Lake Como for four nights to coincide with Villa d'Este, the Concours d'Elegance. The premium one in the world, really, to include tickets for two people. That's from Nigel Rowley of Mackerel Solicitors. I mean, the list goes on. And at number five here, Derek, you might want to bid on this, a set of Damon Hill's race overalls.
Oh, lovely. Just what I need. Another set.
A bit baggy on you, Derek. I know you've kept your figure, I noticed that.
Okay. Here's a question, Damon. How many sets of race overalls have you still got lying around? I presume you've been very generous over the years. You've probably given away most of them, haven't you?
I've got a few more Jordan ones, the F1 racing overalls. I mean, I've kept kind of one from every year, but I've got very few left of the Rothmans years. They're sort of too priceless to let go now. I did let one go for the FIA auction. Sotheby's, I think it was. That did it. Excuse me if I'm wrong with Sotheby's. Maybe it was another one. But anyway, and that was for COVID, the fight against COVID auction. That raised quite a few quid. But I'm running out. You're right. I mean, we didn't. Now they get a different set of overalls every time they put them on, and just put them park. Yeah. Them up. Same with helmets.
And a different the crash helmet thing is so important to me. The crash helmet is the identity of the driver. And now I don't know who I'm looking at.
No.
No. Well, I thought the Lando one he did was very good. I thought that kind of shows that they are interacting with people. So the fan, if you like, especially a young fan, I think your name was Eva or something. So yeah. What a great thing to have had that. She took part in the event in a way. So that's kind of good. I think that was quite clever.
I get the feeling, before I leave, in a minute I want to just read out what the charities are that you guys support, because it's not being disrespectful reading. I just can't, I'm so stupid I can't retain all that in. So I'll read them out in a minute. But on the subject of Lando, he's a little bit too good for F1 at the moment, isn't he? Everything he touches seems to be wonderful. He brings this breath of fresh air. When I see his name now, it seems to always preface something great. I think it's great for the sport.
Yeah. I mean, Derek, I'm sure Derek wants to comment, but I mean, from my point of view, I looked at him when he first turned up. I saw his results in GP2, F2, and I looked at, he looked so too young and kind of, he's quite petite. And I just thought, is he going to be able to cope with the stresses? He can cope. He hasn't got a problem. He's hit the ground. He's totally cool with himself. What a great character he is.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And I must admit, he obviously made that first Grand Prix in Austria. And ever since then, he's been flying, as you said. I love the way he seems so calm and cool. And I think the public, when they're watching it on TV, don't seem to realise, and I think it's something that you guys should put over more, just how close these cars run, you know, in a corner. And some of those moves they make, they do it in slow motion. You go, oh, well, plenty of room there. They're doing 150 miles an hour with 2 inches between the wheels. But I think, you know, the way he's moved, I think him going to McLaren at this point was a really magnificent move all round. You know, they're making their comeback. They said how many years it would take. They're doing just that. And he's proving them, you know, that he's absolutely a vital part of the team.
Hmm. So let's just quickly talk about these charities. So the first charity that's going to be supported through this auction is Hope for Tomorrow. So Hope for Tomorrow supply mobile cancer care units just across the country. So during the global health crisis, cancer patients are among the most vulnerable members of society. Hope for Tomorrow and our mobile cancer care units allow patients to receive their treatments in a local and safe environment. So I think you can understand right at the moment, the idea of a mobile unit to give out that help is crucial. The next is the Halo Trust. The Halo Project is dedicated to supporting creating opportunities for young people aged 16 and above with a learning disability so that they are able to live independent, meaningful, fulfilled lives and are more involved in their local community. Those are the two main charities that you guys have helped support, and that's where the funds will end up. There's another element to this as well that we need to talk about, which is there's not a fixed date for this yet, I'm told. But Veloci wants to offer the opportunity for you to drive your car down to the Goodwood Circuit and have a photo opportunity with one of these heroes here. I can't because my screen's different to theirs. And other luminaries, potentially Ross Brawn, a Franchitti or two. So go down to the Goodwood Motor Circuit and for £285, you can have a lovely photograph of yourself with your pride and joy. And a quick bit of chat with the guys, and away you go, and it'll be presented to you framed. I'm sure it'll be lovely. And that money will also go straight into the charity. So, everyone has a slightly pent-up desire, I think, to go on a little trip in their car. And what you need for a journey is to find a destination, and this will sort it out for you. But the details for the date for that will be on the website, I think, very soon. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else within that. Have I covered it all off? I think I have, haven't I, guys?
That's the main part of it.
Perfect.
Derek used to be local, but he's still in Florida, aren't you? How are you going to do that then? It's not like...
No, I probably won't be there, you see. I can't see me getting back. I mean, anyway, I won't go into the difficulties.
Well, why don't we get a cardboard cutout of you, Derek? Do one of those cardboard cutouts.
It really depends on the date of when it is, because I'm trying to get back for an event they're hopefully holding at Goodwood at some point during the autumn. So I'm hoping to get back for that by the time this thing quietens down a bit. But over here, it's carnage. The fact is getting on a plane and sitting for 9 hours with a load of sweaty people that might have COVID, that's the worrying thing. I'm going to sit there with a hazmat suit on, I think, and look like something from outer space if I do it.
Yeah.
But that we might do that. We might come back in late September.
Well, please do, because people would love to have a photograph taken with you. And I know this good. It's going to be called the Goodwood. Is it the Speed Week they're calling it, or what was it called?
It's called Speed Week. Yeah.
Yeah. And the invite's just gone out for that, so I'm sure that'll be a fantastic event. But this is separate. So please, everyone, get down there, have a photo taken. Fantastic cause. Now, guys, the Grand Prix at the weekend. So we're recording this just after the first of the Silverstone Grand Prix events, which. For me, as an F1 fan that watches Damon commentate on these things, and I'm sure Derek is the same, was it left me halfway through thinking, I think I might go and do some gardening instead. And then it just lit up at the end. So do we think that there was a bit of luck involved in Lewis getting that car back, or did he demonstrate enormous skill to save that front left and get it back? Over to you, Derek.
Oh, I hope you picked the expert. No, I mean, when I saw it, I thought, poor old Verstappen, he's not going to win yet again. I mean, that guy is so darn good and so controlled, it seems. And they brought him in, but they weren't to know that he had one more lap left on those tyres, or even half a lap left, you know, or that Lewis had half a lap left. So I thought it turned into an amazing event in that respect. But I think Lewis was incredibly fortunate. But, you know, those teams did a heck of a job. I mean, they knew that he had another lap left in him, more than Bottas, because Bottas had pitted one sooner, I believe I'm right in saying. So overall, I thought he drove incredibly well to bring it round. But my goodness, 6 or 7 seconds is pretty close.
And Derek, you would have known what it's like to have driven on three wheels, because every driver, eventually, some point or other, racing drivers know what it's like to only have three wheels. But it isn't impossible. It's actually more difficult the rear. The front is not so bad.
No, it's absolutely. I mean, you can see the car just going along and the wheel of the tire really didn't, you know, get worse, depreciate as he came along on the straight. It's only when you go through a right-hand corner, your left-hand tire gets it, or through a left-hand corner, your right-hand tire, front tire gets it. So, no, I think quite, I mean, the chassis are so rigid, which I think not all the fans realize. They're just like a go-kart, really. There's no give in it at all. So the only give is going to be literally when it sort of heels over because there's nothing to stop it.
No, that's right. I mean, it's probably, I mean, it still requires an awful lot of faith and ability. I mean, I think Lewis was sort of using the front wing as a kind of stabilizer. You could see him sort of leaning on it, and it was just about able to keep the front from totally tipping under. But it added that amazing bit of drama. There was a dull bit, Chris, in the middle, I'll be honest. And if you look closely, you might just see me cycling back from the paddock to my caravan to go and get some chocolate biscuits. But,
how wonderfully, it's a wonderfully British, Damon. The other thing I loved was your, I think it was on Instagram. And if you don't follow Damon on Instagram, you really should. It's a fantastic account. Just that picture of the homage to one of our great champions was a white van that was Damon Hill liveried. I just loved your response to that. This is what my legacy has become.
Yeah, I'm sure that might be a valuable secondhand van that one day, you know. But Silverstone commemorating me by sticking my name on the side of a van—that's quite nice.
How did it feel? How did the place feel without the bustle and everyone there? Because the Grand Prix weekend is so wonderfully busy and it's just it's a sea of people and activity. To not have that must have felt so weird.
Very weird. You kept on thinking, this is weird. You know, that's how weird it was. It was, you never got used to it. You never got used to the fact that there was, you go in the paddock and normally it's an ordeal getting from one place to the next because you get copious amounts of people with things to sign and stuff. And you kind of get irritated after a bit with people asking stuff. And then when they're not there, you're going, well, this is a very empty feeling. You're very, you know, you don't get that reaction, that sense that this is important. And of course it is important. It's as important from the World Championships point of view as it ever was, but there's no sense of occasion.
Do you think it will be viewed, whoever wins it, as a lesser championship in the future? Or do you think it will have equal status in people's minds?
I don't know. Derek, what do you think? I think it's going to be slightly less, but still counts.
Yeah, but I mean, Damon, I've gotten a number, but they quoted that it was the record number of viewers watched that race, whether it was around the world or whether it was in Britain, I don't know, but counted in the millions. I saw it on Monday. So people watched it. I think the thing about this year is people are starved of real sport. They can't watch half the sports they'd like to. So when Grand Prix racing, you've got them, it is exciting. The noise, even if it's a little different noise to we used to get you to know, but it's still very, very exciting, and you've got heroes in it. And I think it will go down, yeah, because not everybody goes to the race. When you think about it, they get, 350,000 over the weekend or something, and here we are with millions watching it on TV. So, at a time that people want to be entertained, and thank goodness I can watch some sport. I mean, on Sunday, for example, here, I'm in America, 5 hours different. You know, I watched the Grand Prix, and then I went on to watch the Cup Final. You know, it was a great day of sport. Thank goodness. Otherwise, there's damn all to do apart from watch the Hurricane go through.
What's it like, both of you, being the top of your trade and being at a British Grand Prix and being a driver? It must just be, is that not the pinnacle of your career to have the home crowd behind you? You must just feel like you're just floating on air. It must be gorgeous.
You should ask Damon that. He won the damn thing. I did it two or three times in some rather dubious cars. So, you know, he must be incredible to be as good as he was, win the championship and everything that went with it. And having followed it with his father too, you know, it's absolutely amazing for Damon. I mean, it is his home, isn't it?
I think when you're away, Derek will relate to this. I mean, when you're racing abroad, you do kind of get the sense that you can turn up and get on with your job and do the race and there's fans and stuff, but you can kind of fly under the radar a little bit. When you go to the British Grand Prix as a British Grand Prix driver, it's a tension, it's mostly good, but there's also pressure because of the expectation. So you know it's the big one, you know that everyone's rooting for you as well. So the great thing is, of course, if it does come off, and you actually manage to get through to the end in the lead, then everybody's happy. And that's the great thing about when I won, the sense that everybody had had a fantastic day. And you see this with Lewis, that they stay up all weekend and it can be tipping down with rain. And you know, they've been living rough. A lot of them have been living rough there, up in a field and stuff in Northamptonshire for a few days. And then they get to celebrate with Lewis and maybe hoist him aloft and do a bit of crowd surfing, and they go home so happy. It's fantastic.
Do you think the crowd is worth a tenth a lap if you're qualifying, if you could hear that noise?
I honestly think that there's adrenaline is a really powerful thing in our sport, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you get a shot of it at the right moment, then it can definitely make you do things you wouldn't normally have done. And so seeing people cheering for you, a couple of times I got a shot of adrenaline at the wrong moment or in the wrong way. I had to collide with Michael Schumacher. That was a bit too much adrenaline, I think. So I'm not going to blame the crowd for that. No, that was my fault. But, you know, other times, terrific. And definitely a big boost.
So, guys, do you think that we will never, ever begrudge a queue into Silverstone ever again? Now we've seen it so empty that no one ever has a right to complain about the traffic jams going in ever again.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know, it used to be hideous, but people got very nitty about it. But, you know, they've been there 3 days. That's the point. And they just wanted to get out of it. And it was chaotic. But I think they've done such a wonderful job of organising with their local authorities that people do get away a lot quicker than they used to. That's for sure. So but as you say, I don't think in the future we have to worry about people bitching and moaning too much. We'll be so relieved to be able to go next year, I hope.
What was David? What was your, give us some insight? What was your trick of getting in and out when, you know, at the peak of your powers, when you still are famous, but when you really were the man? How did you get in and out? Was it a moped? Was it a crash helmet? Was it a helicopter? How did you get in and out?
Well, in the early days, you could get in through sort of backs and back entrances, but they kind of got them covered now. And when I wasn't racing, I used to turn up. So I used to turn up on a bike about 5 minutes before the race started. Well, that's not when I was racing, because literally it's an amazing thing. I've literally driven in over the bridge as the cars were on the formation lap, and then just drove straight in and watched the race. Anyway, that was when I wasn't racing. Otherwise, I didn't helicopter. I never helicoptered. I don't remember helicoptering in, but in my early days with my dad, we used to fly in. So we used to fly into places like Brands as well. And that's interesting, flying into Brands Hatch.
Flying into Brands Hatch?
Yeah, there's a field, which is also a car park. So you come in over the road and literally have to get it down quite quickly above the, just over the hedge. And then you get people walking across the runway with their hampers and they're holding on to their children and stuff. So it was a bit hairy back in the day, a grass runway. But Silverstone had a proper big tarmac. Obviously, it's made for bombers, so they're big enough to take massive aeroplanes.
It's a question for both of you. Silverstone is now the home of the British Grand Prix, but it wasn't always that way. It used to rotate and change. If every single big circuit in the UK had an F1 license to hold a Grand Prix, what would be the first circuit, Derek, that you'd like to see a British Grand Prix at instead of Silverstone?
Except, apart from Silverstone.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought Brands Hatch was an amazing circuit, to be honest. I mean, it's like a mini Nürburgring. Very much a mini one, but I mean the ups, the undulations, and the cambers and the corners. And I think it's Brands. I have hated to say this, but I used to prefer racing there at Brands because of that to even Silverstone, which in those days was much more of an open air field. So it was a little bit boring, if that's the right word, at 170 miles an hour. But no, I think Brands would be my favorite. I mean, you've got Donington and things, but I don't think it's long enough.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
No, I would agree. You know, the old Brands Hatch long circuit before they changed it was absolutely beautiful. And I remember doing it in an F3 car and just thinking, this is the most amazing track. The car was balanced perfectly. And I also raced bikes there. So I was champion of Brands. So I got to know it on two wheels as well. Lovely. It's got the sense of going, you know, diving down into corners and then the rises and the off cambers or the one clearways when you come in and the car just gets really light and it's always drifting towards the edge of the track, but you're just going to go, oh, I'm just going to make it. It's a great feeling.
No, we're blessed with some amazing circuits in this country, but it seems a shame that there is a monopoly for Silverstone on the Grand Prix. I just love seeing the cars in different places. I'm actually very excited about the fact they're going to Portimao because that's a place I've done loads of work. We've been testing cars there for, you know, more than 10 years now, and it is a remarkable piece of topography. I mean, it's real roller coaster. I'm slightly worried as to how they're going to overtake there, I have to say, but I think it's great seeing the cars out of their normal context, seeing them on different circuits.
Yeah, Chris, I saw you in the electric car, that ridiculous electric. I don't know what make that was. Was it a Neo or something? Or no?
The Volkswagen IDR they built to win Pikes Peak. That's what it was. But that circuit is you're going to love, Damien. Have you been there before?
Well, I went there last year and just went for a look around in a road car. But it's got some blind rises and crests, hasn't it? I mean, is that safe for an F1 car? I mean,
well, there's one big. I just know them as numbers, but basically you fire down this massive gully up the other side and there's a totally, you've come over a crest, it's a blind crest and a braking zone immediately afterwards. Now I think a Formula One car will be doing 180 miles an hour when it pops up from there. I don't know how they're going to stop them.
Wow.
Did you ever drive it? This is not Ascari you're talking about, is it?
No, this is Portugal. Ascari is remarkable, isn't it?
Mr. Yeah, Svart. That's what I thought. He's Arrow, but we used to test there with Bentley and stuff with the Le Mans car, and it was just magnificent.
Did you worry if it went wrong, you'd end up in trouble there?
Yeah, exactly. But there's lots of places like that. Alton Park's not exactly favourite. But see, I think Alton might have made a very good Grand Prix track. My first ever Formula One race was at Alton Park in the Gold Cup, in the Ferrari, and it was fabulous.
What do you think was the best circuit for one of your longer-legged endurance races? A 956, 962. Was Le Mans where they felt happiest, or a Silverstone, or a Suzuka? What? Where did they really sing?
You can actually ask Damon this because he drove at Le Mans, didn't you, Damon? But Le Mans is the best, in my opinion, because it's got these long corners. It had longer straights. Even now, it's pretty much like that. You know, 24 hours is terribly physical. And the thought of going through those extra chicanes that they've thrown in was certainly something that the guys have had to reckon with. But it was a very relaxing track once you got over the fact you're doing 230 plus miles an hour. Because you only drove cars that were stable. They were good. At least I did. I was lucky enough. And Le Mans was probably the most exciting track to drive really, really fast when they said, okay, go and have a go at getting pole. And that was really, really exciting because of the speed of those fast corners and just going from one to the other. There's no great undulations, you know, it was just magnificent. And I also drove on the original Le Mans track, you know, when we used to use the White House, not have the Porsche curves, as it were. So even that was magnificent as well. What about you, Damon?
Well, I drove with you in 88, I think it was, or 89. Yeah, 89.
Right.
It was Richard Lloyd. So I wasn't in the same car as you, but I was in the same car. And we were both in Richard Lloyd Porsches. And what an experience. Going down the Mall Sand Straight and you got a minute. All I remember is they kept on saying, you've got to check the fuel readout when you pass the end of the straight. And you've got to, and I couldn't see it because it was dark. So I had to go down the Mall Sand Straight and find the light switch. And so turn on the light switch in the car to read what the monitor said and try and work out roughly what it would say when I got to the other end. But of course, the moment you turn the light on in the car, you can't see out.
No. I didn't realize you were doing that. I must have had a light on all the time or something. But you see, Chris, you probably don't realize, but we drove in those days at Le Mans with the fuel economy. And, it was just awful. As you went down the Mulsanne Strait, you had a readout in the middle of the steering wheel. You know how big a steering wheel is on a race car. And think about the size of a matchbox. And on it, it had 11, 12, 13, which is the number of laps you could do on a tank wheel. And down the side was 1 to 13. And across on this chart, it showed you at lap 6, you'd have used 48 litres. And you had to be on 48 and look at the actual readout on the right of the rev counter and see just how much fuel you had used. And it had to be at a certain point. It was absolutely farcical. I used to get so upset with the FIA about it. I got in so much trouble from Porsche because I kept complaining. But it was a joke. I mean, doing an economy run, we were still driving like hell in the corners. But, you had to be modest in your power and your acceleration there. And you remember, Damon?
I used to lift off, that crest after the King?
Yeah.
Off just at the top of that and coast.
That's right.
Just coast because you're saving fuel. But anyway, that's a... Another it was thing. Great. It was great. I would have thought Spa would have been great in a Group C car as well.
Yeah, it was. I drove the 917 around the old circuit. I did that one year. That was amazing.
You're welcome to that. What's Berneville like in a 917, Derek?
That's the bottom. No, that's Stabilo at the bottom. Berneville's
that down the hill after the... So you go Eau Rouge up the top to Les Combes, then you come down. It's that 170 mile an hour right-hander downhill, where now there's a wooded area on the left with a load of headstones and crosses.
Yeah. Oh, Jenna, I have to admit, that was the only place that I crashed in, really, basically all my sports car. And it was not... I was in a BMW. I can't think that's a good reason to crash. But it was on my first lap out on new tyres, which I'd just come in from with worn tyres. And I didn't see the bit of tape on the steering wheel set or wherever they put it saying new tyres. And I turned into Berneville and I went straight into the guardrail. But that was the longest corner in Europe. Don't know if Damon ever went around it, but he went on and on. And there's a house on the right-hand side as you went, which is almost the apex. And this old boy used to sit like on a deck in his chair and just watch you go by sort of 2 foot away from his chair. It was uncanny. It was a really tricky corner. But because you couldn't see right round it, I don't think you ever took it really, really flat because you could, or as fast as you could go if the house hadn't been there. But there was a heck of a track. But the most tricky was Master Kink, which you went on from Berneville, went down over the top, down past Malmedy, down that sort of where I think Jackie Stewart had an incident, and two or three of them did in the Grand Prix once with the water with rain. And then you turned into a left and a right through the houses at the Master Kink. And that was, it was nearly flat. And there were so many stories, I won't go into it now, but if ever you interview me privately, I'll tell you. And that was the worst moment of my life, was going through there and this bloke was just pulling away from the guardrail, like having had a cup of tea and there was no room. Anyway, we got through. But that was the as we say, through the little village at Master Kink. That was the worst part, because you had to change the...
Don't feel too bad, Derek. Don't feel too bad about having the heebie-jeebies about Spa. Because when my dad first went there, he literally did one lap, came in, sat in the pits and said, I don't think I can do this.
And did he really?
Yeah. And apparently they went up to my mum and said, he's having a bit of a moment. And then they said, just have a think about it. And he had to have a think about it and set off again.
But Damon, you've driven some pretty bad cars too. And I think the thing is, depends on how good the car was or is. And I was in my time, and you would have been too, sort of, if you were like in Mike, your career at the same, doing the same racetracks. It was just intimidating to go to these places where, there were two people killed last year here and that sort of thing. And I mean, it was pretty terrifying. But if you had a good car and you had a certain amount of confidence in yourself, you could do it. But it was pretty damn frightening. I mean, my first ever sports car race of my life was in a Ferrari 512 four Jack Swatters in the yellow Ferrari around Spa. And I mean, against the factory Ferraris and Porsches. And it was worrying. The car caught a light twice on the refueling, which was fun, burnt my eyebrows and that sort of thing. We've all been through that. But it's the most amazing track. I mean, that to me is the most, probably along with Nürburgring, it's the most sort of character-forming racetracks you're ever going to come across.
I think the long spa to go, because I go and do the 6-hour historic thing every year that I really love it. Whenever I go there, I always go and drive the old track, and we get on, because at the Master King, there's now the Master Fruitery, isn't there? You can go and stop and have your chips. There's some curbstones from the old track, and you can go and see the old Stavolo. And we always go and have a good long walk, because it's just awe-inspiring what you guys did there. There's long stretches. I mean, the bit from Stavolo back to where it joins at Blanchimont. I mean, you must have been full beans for 30 seconds.
I visualize it. I go over it quite frequently in my mind when I'm having a bad dream. And literally you go around Stavolo, because obviously the faster you come out of Stavolo, the faster you go up to what they call the White House, but you still had to back off for that. So you had that first bit, as you say, and then round the long left, and then you came up to the White House, which was a house on the right-hand side. And you'd look down, this is in the 917, you know, my second ever sports car race there. And you sort of look down and you're pulling, you know, as you come out, you're pulling 8-1 or 7-8 or whatever, the 100 revs more than before. And which you took you up to the next corner. The problem is when you got there, which was nearly flat, you're going to ride there 100 revs quicker, basically. So you had to allow for that, but you wanted to go through there super quick to get a better time. And it was just an amalgam of picking up time as you went up. And then you had to wait 3.5 minutes to come down before they put the board out to tell you what you just did. And you said, shit, what did I really do that? You know, it was, and I got pole 1 year in the 917 that year, actually, at 161 mile an hour average around the old spa. I mean, it was unbelievable. I forgot actually how quick we were. And then you look at me, really? I mean, they did 150 in the electric car recently, and there was a great rave about it. We did 161, you know, on the old track in a car with a load of tubes, as you said yourself earlier.
With your ankles sitting ahead of the front axle line. I mean, Derek, you know, do you not look back and think, what was I doing?
Yes, but we all did the same. You would have done it, Chris. Damon would have done it. You know what I mean? We both just said, he said, do you realize how the tubes were on those cars? But we'd have done it because it was the best car. I mean, people were clamoring to drive that 917. All the Formula One drivers would have driven it, you know, at that era, because it was the best car out there. It was the fastest. And it wasn't scary. I didn't have to go through those two couple of seasons of the car wanting to take off. I mean, I got in it on that third year and it was perfect. And it was a magnificent car. Anybody could drive it. It was really good.
But Damon, old racing cars that you've not driven, that you'd love to have driven and you'd still like to drive now. Name me one.
I've not driven. I probably would have, when you say old, I mean, you know, there's the very old cars are not much, well, I didn't find them much fun to drive. They're a bit, there's a lot of slack in them.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't really do much. But I think I'd probably like to have a go in maybe, what's that, Mario Andretti Lotus, the one that the
79.
49, yeah. I'd like to have a go in that.
Yeah, I got to drive that last year for a Top Gear film, and I have to say, just, you know, it had enough Trapman trickery in it to make it very interesting. But the DFV, you know, anything with the DFV in it's going to be great, isn't it? Yeah. And the car so easy to drive, and I had this sense as I drove it that I just can imagine Mario turning up to Hethel to test it. And I think he must have known within 5 minutes of first testing it that he knew who's going to be the world champion. He must have just gone, oh my God, this is the thing. Nothing's going to beat this.
Yeah.
What was that one called? What was that chassis?
49, was it? 79. 49. Yeah. Yeah, 49 was my dad's one, 96.
That's right.
But 79 had the skirts that came down and it was the first ground effect car.
Yeah.
And, but it was just so easy to drive.
I drove.
Don't tell everyone.
No, exactly. But you're talking about cars that you wish you could have driven, or you drove certain cars that I did in F1, which weren't necessarily that special, because you assume that they aren't good enough to be in the special ones, as we well know. But I went to Kailami what 4 or 5 years ago, actually, with Top Gear live. And David Coulthard was in the Red Bull, and Jody Scheckter was in his world championship winning Ferrari, and a couple of his sons were driving other Ferraris. And I drove the Lotus 72, which is the one Emerson won the championship with. And I went out, you know, to do the three laps just, you know, for filming. And on the third lap, I went, whoa. And I came in, they said, did you like this? I said, this is beautiful. And then they said, well, you can go longer, you know, go 15 laps. So I went out and did another 10 to 12 laps. And it was the most beautiful car I'd ever driven on a racetrack. And then I realized I was driving a world champion's car.
Yeah.
And when you drive a world champion's car, yeah, you probably didn't realize how good yours was when you were, yeah, but it was. It was, yeah, superb. And it just does things you want. And I learned a lot from that, you know, that some cars aren't as good as others. Or it put it home to me.
Right, guys, I think you've been very generous with your time. And I'm going to be a bit impish and say that in the future, I'd love to get a longer piece of material from both of you, because both of your stories are fascinating and you're great raconteurs and storytellers. But for now, and on behalf of Collecting Cars, we can't wait to host this stuff for you. Thanks for all the charity work you do. And let's try and get this Veloci photo shoot thing up and running. And also think forward to next year, when we can get you all again driving some guests around Goodwood and showing them a good time. But thank you so much for your time, Damon. Best of luck with the Grand Prix next weekend. Derek, enjoy the Florida sunshine. Watch out for the alligators. And it's over and out from all of us. Goodbye.
Thanks very much, Chris. Well,
Collecting Cars, the safe, smart and simple way to buy and sell collectible cars. An online auction platform for the UK and Europe. Follow us on Instagram at Collecting Cars and also collectingcars.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.